Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys.
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
This is the Halloween edition.
Welcome to Haunted Real Estate. This is a special episode. We are at Blair Scare in Cypress, Texas today, and we are talking to some people about their paranormal experiences. Say hi, Lainey.
Hi. We're so excited to be here today. I am glistening.
It's very hot outside.
And I've got a wig on.
Yep. So we have our friend Christy in here, and she has a spooky story that she wanted to share with us.
I do. It's actually happened close to 16 years ago. My youngest, Caroline. So I'll kind of set the backstory. My husband works for HPD and he was working nights. And so as a mom of an infant, I was kind of on call all the time.
That's already really spooky, just knowing you're going to be alone most
I'm
nights.
I'm home every night by myself. Caroline kind of got in this rhythm of, you know, waking up at the same time every night, crying. And I just figured that it was, okay, she has a pacifier, so she lost her pacifier, or, you know, she just kind of needed to be reassured or whatever. But it got, like, to the point where, you know, several days in a row.
And, like, what time would she wake up?
Honestly, I didn't even notice it at first. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the same time every single night. I didn't notice that until it had been happening, like, the sixth or seventh night.
Yeah.
It was three. Like three, probably like
three on the dot.
The witching hour.
3 a.m. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, you know, like as a mom of an infant, you kind of get into their rhythms too.
Yeah.
So basically I could just do it with my eyes closed. She would sound off. I'd hear the monitor in my room. The way our house is laid out, I'd have to, you know, get up, walk across the living room into the back part of the house, down the hallway where the kids' rooms are. And her room was in the middle. So I go into her room, fish out her pacifier that she was usually laying on, put it in her mouth, pat her butt, and then go right back to sleep. And I could do it all with my eyes closed because I did it so many times.
Yeah.
So here we go, rolling around probably, I think, the seventh night. Because it was like the sixth night that I was like, okay, this is happening like every single night at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? So the seventh night, I woke up and it was like 2:58. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear her. Like it's usually her crying, kind of stirring, making the noise that's waking me up. I didn't hear that. I woke up, it was silent. And so I'm like, I look at the clock, it's 2:58. And I'm like, okay. So I kind of just laid there for a second. And then I just started hearing like static monitor. And I was like, that's weird. And then like, so I'm kind of getting up, kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to make my way into the room. Mm-hmm. I start to kind of get up and I hear like this like low garbled like growl, not a sound an infant can make.
Yeah. Or maybe not even a human.
No,
would make.
Right. So it did not sound human, but I feel like I took two giant steps across the living room. Like I flew, and as I'm crossing the living room, she starts crying, and I realize like that's 3 a.m. Yeah. That's 3 a.m. It would have been at that moment that she starts kind of making her cry sound, and I run in there. And she's crying. Mm-hmm. And so I like pick her up, but there is something in that room.
I have the chills just hearing this. This is so
something
creepy.
Something in there. Because like I would give her pacifier and pat her back to sleep, but she would it'd always take a couple seconds to like kind of get her to calm down and get her back to sleep. And I'd always try to catch it really early so she wouldn't get herself into a huge tizzy because getting her back down after that was not easy. So I'd always try to cut it off. Like there was something in that room. And I had actually, I was on staff at a church full time at that time. And I was talking to one of the senior pastors and I was letting him know, just there's this, I don't know. Caroline's like an angel baby. Like she, you know, background on her, we didn't plan for her, but she's like the biggest joy bomb. She, everywhere she goes, she's just like light and love. And
I know I don't want to share your business, but like you had a lot of health reasons why you were considering not having a third kid, right?
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Everybody else was convinced too, that I wasn't going to have any more. And my doctors begged me to please
make sure it be done, be finished.
My mother was like, please be finished. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have a peace about it. I agreed with them that my body didn't need to do it again, but I just didn't have a peace because I felt like there was something more. And Caroline was the more, and she was just like the perfect baby. And so anyway, so she's just got like this sweet, hence her name, Sweet Caroline.
Yes.
Like she lives up to that.
Yeah.
And like she just, I don't know, she's just like this perfect little joy bomb.
Aww.
And so for this to be going on in her room, so I was talking to the senior pastor about it, and I was like, I feel like there's like something in this house. We had lived there not very long before I got pregnant with her. She's the only one that was in that lived in that room. We had used it as a playroom before we found out we were having her. And so when we turned it into her room. So nobody had actually like stayed in there, but there was something in this room, and it was making me uncomfortable.
And you can feel that like energy of whatever that is. You can feel something that's
not right. I would lay her on the changing table in this room, and I would notice like she'd make eye contact with me and smile, and then she would look up and over and past me, and she would smile. She learned how to wave. You know how like the first thing that kids do is they wave with their hands backwards and kind of like curl their fingers in. She would do that. She would like look at me and be smiling and da da da, and then just this, and then smile and look and wave. And so I always had a feeling she could see.
She was looking past you
like
at something
spiritual
else.
Realm stuff. Yeah, you know? And I don't know what all that looks like. Yeah. I don't have the power to see that. But I think as a baby, she. Had that ability to see
and I think
stuff.
Kids,
I think my son had it too.
Yes, I think they absolutely do because, I mean, there's nothing, we put up a lot of blockers, I think, ourselves naturally, especially as adults and stuff. We have to reason with everything, and so we kind of refuse to see things, but
we
that,
just talk ourselves out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Babies, I mean, they have nothing.
It's pure.
And they don't even necessarily have to feel scared of something.
No.
I mean, they just see something. I mean, babies will smile at clowns, and I'm like, don't look at a clown.
Don't do that. Right.
Yeah. I think most babies are not scared. Like we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't have that. They're just not trying to talk themselves out of it.
So you think your son had that too?
I think Andrew did too. His grandmother would like rock him in the chair, and he'd always stare at this one spot kind of like up above, like in this archway of her house. He'd always stare at this one spot and just smile and talk. And we're all like looking like, what do you see?
Why are they always above us? I don't know. Like, stop hanging out over me. I don't like that.
Yeah, come on down
can
here.
Can you be shorter than me so they can just look down at you?
Yeah. Just sit right here next to me. I'd rather you do that.
Yeah.
Feels a little less spy. But anyway.
So what'd the pastor say?
The pastor was saying, I had asked them, I'm like, can you come over? This was before the night that this was going on. I had asked them, like, you know, maybe, I was like, I just have a feeling at my house. You know, we moved in not too long ago. Can you come by and just, like, maybe say a blessing over the house or just do something? I've never done this before, but something just doesn't feel right. And it really feels weird in that room. Like, with her, even if she's seeing, like, angels or whatever, I don't know. I don't know what she's seeing, but I'm like, can we do a cleanse or something?
Yeah, whatever that is, y'all do. Holy water, bring your cross.
Right. Yeah. So he was like, if you're a believer, you can actually do that yourself. He's like, I'm happy to. I can, but you totally have the power to do that. You can walk through your house and just say blessings over it and just dedicate the house.
I always feel like, I'm like, you have more of a direct line to God. I feel like you go faster.
Maybe
if
your
you
words
did.
Are better, stronger, awesome, more awesome than mine, because I'm just going to like get all.
May the power of Christ compel you. I don't know what to say.
But so that kind of flashed back in my mind when I picked her up on this time, because this time she was like crying. And it was more of like a scream. Like, she kind of did more of like a scream at first and then started crying. And that was when I was crossing through the living room, gone into her room, picked her up, felt this, whatever this presence was. And then I was immediately kind of in that mode, the power of Christ compels you. I was like, you have no authority. If you're an evil presence, you have no authority in my home. I mean, I was just like, Jesus is Lord over, over this place, over this room, over this child. You have no power. You have no authority. And so anything that I could think of, anything that I'd ever seen on TV, heard, you know, witnessed, whatever, like I just tried to pull out every single bit of jargon that I could to try to cleanse this room. And I'm telling you the truth, it never happened again after that night.
That's amazing.
Not once did she wake up.
Thank God.
I know.
Thank God that we have the power to also be able to do that.
Yeah.
Well, no. I also know who I'm going to call if I do need an exorcism.
Yeah, you can call me.
Christy.
Call on you. That's proven to work.
I mean, my speech was definitely not professional, but I just was honestly just grasping.
Well, anyone who listens to us
trying to,
knows we're not professional.
No. Well, you know, you just really had to dig deep into all your movie trivia, all the haunted stuff, and just let it rip after that. Because I was like, I did not want anything to. Yeah. I felt like something was like coming close to harming my child or trying to harm my child.
Yeah. Right. Something is there that is an unsettling presence. It doesn't feel like a joyful, peaceful presence.
Right.
So,
and when I heard that sound happen on, like that growl that happened on her, like I've never heard it before. I have two kids before her. I've never heard a sound like that. Never heard it again. Since then, it was not a human sound, and it wasn't a malfunction. The monitor worked fine every night after that. My body was still kind of trained, so I would kind of like wake up, wouldn't hear anything, just fall back asleep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Craziest
that
thing.
That is crazy.
It still gives me chills, like, telling the story. Because, and to tell Caroline it now, she's like, wow. like, what was in my room? I'm like, I ask her, like, do you remember seeing anything, like, above you?
Yeah.
When you, because her memory goes back pretty far, and she's like, no, I don't remember seeing anything.
Did I ever tell you the story of when my mom told me this story, when I was being potty trained, that I was obviously sitting there, and she was sitting there with me, like, trying to make me go to the bathroom. We had this, like, little window that went above the shower, and I was like, Mom, who's that lady?
Oh.
And my mom said she was so petrified, she wouldn't look, because that window was, like, 10 feet up, you know? It's, like, well above the shower, so she was like, I don't want to know what you see. She said she took me and just shut the bathroom door and was like, nope.
Never.
And I'm like, what did I see? And I'm afraid to see it again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that, like, in my dream.
No.
Yeah.
But that was one of those, like, kids see things. Uh-huh. I mean, because there's just nothing stopping
just
it in our minds.
A pure believability. And then, and we just kind of become, I don't know, I feel like we just talk ourselves out of it.
Yeah. No, I think it's exactly right.
Become there's been too cynical, I think. And just like, or we'll just, we know people are crazy.
Yeah.
That think these things or think they see these things. They're like, oh, you're losing it.
Yeah.
You're crazy. And so we just,
there's medication for that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You push it down. But no, there's like a pureness to kids and they just, again, they're not afraid of it. But I was afraid when I heard that. I didn't hear that the first few nights. And when I heard that, I was like, danger. I went into mom mode and exercised some demons out of my dad.
Honestly, I've done nothing quite like that, but I like to bring in a lot of antiques into the house, and I swear that it, not every time, but sometimes there is an energy shift, and it's like you don't notice it right away, but then weird things will start happening. And like, I redid an old coffee table. Like, I like to flip old furniture, and there were a couple of weird things that happened. And one of them was this ball kept ending up in my way. I kept almost tripping on this ball, and I was like, where the hell is this thing coming from? And so I put it under the coffee table so I'd stop tripping on it. And then I went in my bedroom. We bathed my dog, and then so it was like 30 minutes. And I walk back out, and when I walk right back out, all of a sudden it kicks out from under my coffee table. And I was like, okay, see, that was 30 minutes. Like, I was gone for a significant amount of time, and the kids were in bed, so this was like, you know, well after 9 o'clock, and dogs weren't around. I was like, okay, see, I keep Palo Santo always, and I'm always praying. So, I'll take other, I don't mind spirits, but I do mind unwelcome, unfriendly spirits.
Right.
Exactly. And I don't know that that's what it is, you know, but I always say
either,
that, like,
I know that it freaked me out.
Right.
It was enough to,
if you're here to bring harm or hurt or whatever, like, you're not welcome.
You're not welcome here.
Yeah.
You got to leave.
I agree.
Like, you have to leave. You have no power here. You have to leave. And
Yeah. Well, after you told me that story back in, like, 2017, I've just taken precautions, and I've exercised my house a few times.
That's all she told me about her story.
Yeah.
You told her something from 2017.
And now I have to, you say a little blessing over things you bring in. Same thing, like, whenever we, if I travel internationally and I bring anything home from, like, other countries.
Because you told me that story when we were in Africa.
Oh, yeah. There are things in Latin America, too, like, that will just attach to certain objects that you bring home.
Yeah.
And
we've talked, can you just share just a smidgen about, like, we've talked a little bit about Mexico City, that there's just a different energy there.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's very heavy. No, I mean, it's a predominantly Catholic city. It's a large city, very populated, very crowded, but it's Catholic by tradition.
Yeah.
So, but what I've learned, though, is that I think, like, Americanized Christianity kind of, like, waters it down.
Yes.
And wants to look the other way when it comes to the spiritual realm and things that are existing in that. And they kind of, like, would rather just be like, no, that doesn't happen here. But they're very aware of it in Latin America. In Central America, like, it's common. When my boss was living there with his wife, they did numerous exorcisms. Like, it was a thing there. And so, but I think that they're, that you can feel that oppression. It's heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy. Did you feel that when we went to India? Did you feel that oppression when we went to India? When we were, like, we're in Kolkata?
Maybe a little bit in Calcutta.
It's thick.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, makes you feel
Not in Siliguri.
Really,
it felt, it was a very different feel between the two. Definitely. Yeah. I agree.
Like, heavy and light.
I don't think I realized it as much being there, but then when we went to Siliguri, it felt so different. Yeah. I was like, I don't even feel like I'm in the same country anymore.
Right.
It was
and
interesting.
I think there's just, you know, you go international and people are just, like, still in the mindset of, like, oh yeah, no, this stuff does exist. This stuff is really, mm-hmm. really prevalent here. Mm-hmm. Darkness, spirits.
And, like, yeah, and we were in some really sad areas too of Calcutta, yeah. so it's hard to, mm-hmm. I mean, say that there aren't evil things that are happening there. They are.
Like, when I go there, it's oppressive walking. Like, we went in the red light district. It's mm-hmm. like you can't hardly breathe. And yeah. it's not because of smog or anything like that. No, it is like a heavy burden feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's thick. And that, I mean, all of those things is like what I felt.
Well, and
when
we know.
Room, yeah. It's just this is not of Earth. This is not human. Mm-hmm. You can't manifest this. Like, there's something else.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was my first real encounter with something like
that. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
It haunted me when you told me, you know, like 7 years ago. Well, it really freaked me out.
It still, when we talk about it, haunts us.
Yeah.
And it's become just a haunting sharing story now.
But I don't know if you remember when we were talking about that in Africa, but we were asking one of the other pastors that was on the trip with us. He was telling us about exorcisms. And that was one, I had a hard time sleeping that night because I was like, why did I ask a pastor about these exorcisms? And I got real answers that I wasn't expecting.
You weren't expecting.
I wanted to be like, no, that's not real. But he was like, oh, that's real, and gave some story. And I was like, okay, never mind. I need to unhave heard that.
Yeah. Good. Careful what you ask.
No, you're right. I do that a lot. I have no idea how people are going to respond to me. And I'm like, let me just ask. And I'm like, nope, well, you can't unhear it. So mm-hmm. good job.
Yep.
But anyway, so just a fun question to end. If you found out a house you wanted to buy was haunted, would that be a deal breaker or a selling point?
Oh, no. Okay, so now we think that there's a spirit in our house right now. A friendly call, we call her Allison. And that doesn't bother me, honestly, because I personally feel protected.
Mm-hmm.
I have the belief in my belief system and my faith. I believe that if Jesus is in my heart and Lord of my life, then nothing else can take place of that. And
right.
so nothing can have dominance over me. And I feel that, and I believe that for my kids and my husband as well. And so as far as them being like possessed by something, we watch these movies and see that happen.
Right.
And I'm like, I think if you're open to receiving something like that, because there's not something else lording over you, then that can happen. But I honestly don't believe that can happen to me personally. Now, do I think that they can be like floating around or whatever?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't think if I really loved the house and it was haunted, I would still do my little walkthrough.
Yeah.
Making sure they know that I know what I know and
yeah.
tell them they have no power over me and don't mess with my kids.
Yeah.
Because I'll mama bear it.
100%. Yeah.
Exercise them right out of there.
Yeah. Because honestly,
otherwise, you can stay.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be nice.
You're welcome
nice.
If you're here to protect the house,
right.
protect this family.
Play
absolutely.
Nice. I think I would try to like do the fun things with it and like hold this quarter up and bounce this ball down the hallway, things like that. I mean, happy things. I wouldn't do things, you know, I wouldn't ask him to do anything other than that, obviously. But
for sure.
So no, I don't think it would keep me.
Where did the name Allison come from?
Oh, Allison. Okay. My husband and I bought it's actually time for a new one, but about 10 years ago, we got a Tempur-Pedic bed, mm-hmm. and it has, like, the remote, like, to, it lifts up, like, the head into mm-hmm. the bed or the feet into the bed, and there's also, like, this vibrating thing on it. I never understood what it was for because it's weird. It's, like, not comfortable. I'm like, who would want to sleep like this? But anyway, we woke up one night because it had gone off. All of a sudden, our bed was just shaking.
Oh.
And I was like, what is happening? And then David can look over, and he sees the remote on the nightstand, and he turns it off, and we're mm-hmm. like, okay, that was weird. He puts it back down, we fall back asleep. A little while later, it starts going off again, and
oh
we're like,
goodness.
Who's touching this remote? So on the remote, though, there's a little digital a window where you can mm-hmm. see like the digital reading or whatever, like the commands, the level of the bed, that whatever level it's at,
yeah.
incline or whatever. Well, on it had ALSN.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
I remember you telling me this story now. Yeah.
Well, we've looked in every manual. There is nothing. There's nothing that should come up that is ALSN.
Oh, that's
it does
really
not stand
weird.
For anything. Like, we've called. I'm like, why does... We have unplugged the bed, and it has done it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is really...
Yeah, we
creepy.
Took the batteries out of the remote. It has done it.
Well, that is
yeah.
definitely Allison.
So, Allison. And then, you know, every once in a while, we hear like what we think. Like, okay, we're all downstairs, and we hear something happen upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all like, Allison, you know, and don't really think much more about it.
Mm-hmm.
But things that are like, that's weird. That's a weird sound. Nobody
I feel
can
like
make that sound.
Two-story houses, I feel like, really highlight hauntings. Mm. Because you will always hear pitter-patter when people are not upstairs, I swear. Because,
yeah.
like, that happened at our
yeah.
house growing up, too.
Mm-hmm.
And our mom always said she always saw a little girl or some kind of
mm-hmm.
reflection. Like, but that she never felt scared of it. That
yeah.
she felt like this person or this spirit wasn't here to harm any of us. But, yeah, you would hear that little... like upstairs.
God, upstairs, yeah, up the stairs is a big thing. My son heard it and he was like, "Mom," and I was like, "It's probably just Allison. Just say hi."
I won't even buy a two story, and I don't know if that's like one of the reasons that sticks with me that I'm just like, no, I don't need to highlight that. I'm just gonna make it more. You can't really hear it much in a one story, so I'll take it. Yeah. I just can't hear you.
Yeah, I'll never forget coming home and Mom had the dogs upstairs and they were outdoor dogs.
Oh yeah, like, so it was really weird.
What are you doing, Mom? She had a like knife in her hand or something.
What?
And she's just like, I'm just her mom. Looking for the ghosts. I'm just like, okay.
What are you planning on doing with a knife?
All right.
In case it's not a ghost. Well, my mom used to, I've probably said this before on the podcast, but my mom used to tease me all the time that if I heard noises in the attic, she always told me it was Gary Busey living in my attic.
And why Gary Busey?
I think there was a movie he was in where he was living in an attic. But he's also like just notoriously very creepy.
He is creepy.
Yeah, for sure. Now it's like a joke, Casey and I. Like if you hear anything in the attic, it's like, oh, that's Gary Busey in the attic.
Gary Busey's in the attic.
My mom didn't, our mom did not hesitate to freak us out. And
it's kind of fun,
Totally.
Totally
not traumatized.
Made everything fine.
Yeah,
this podcast probably wouldn't exist without that, though.
Oh, that's true. We wouldn't be into horror the way we are.
A fire, in y'all.
It did. Every kid has to have their own little traumas. So
sure,
ours are special.
Oh yeah, my kids have a trauma fund. So
a trauma fund.
Yeah, there's some kids have college funds. My kids have trauma funds.
That's great.
Awesome. Nobody gets through life.
It's how you get through life experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's builds our character.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You're welcome.
Super appreciate it. That's a very creepy story, but thank God Caroline is thriving now. I guess you moved out of that house.
Well, yeah, we're right across the street, but we had really good friends of ours move into that house.
I was going to ask, does she know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did tell him. We did. It wasn't like right away. I didn't know them well enough yet, but once we got
when they
to
were
know
showing
them,
it, you ran up.
Hey, guess what? It was a few years after they had moved in, and we were really getting to know them. But I was like, you're welcome, by the way.
I cleansed that house before I gave it to you.
Before I exercised it. There was definitely a demon in that house, so you're welcome.
And then they moved out.
No, and then they moved out, and now we made some other new friends that live there.
She told them.
Not yet. Not yet. It's still kind of new.
Okay.
When the time
Fair
is
enough.
Right.
Fair enough. All right.
They just had a baby and the baby lives in the room. So.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe wait a little.
Yeah, for sure. Wait a little bit. But obviously if they say anything, you can be like, I can cleanse that for you.
Yeah. I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about it, but I just don't want to.
With things like that, I don't think it's the space. I think it's the person that it's attached to. Yeah. So I really wouldn't
think it's people and things.
Anything would just be back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Wow. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thanks Happy for having me. You on. So now today, I shouldn't say today because we are recording this on three separate days. But so this next segment is going to be two of my dear friends, Heath and Lynn. So they are both going to share their paranormal experiences with us. Lynn, why don't you go first?
Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
Well, I have a bunch. So we'll start off when I was just a young child.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's a good intro to where, my paranormal experiences have taken me.
Yeah.
So we have a really cool farmhouse. We always called it the farm growing up. And it's just, I would say it's over 100 years old now.
And where was this located?
So this is Bremont, Texas.
Okay.
So kind of like maybe an hour or so away from Texas A&M College Station area. But very small town. And so it's on 100 acres. Really, 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 really beautiful property. But the house is just, like I said, it's pretty much original. Yes, my grandparents kept it up. But definitely one of those that you walk in and you're like, oh, I don't want to stay the night here. But
makes you just feel that like energy.
Oh yeah. It's got those my old ancestors, those pictures on the walls and like those big old bubble picture frames that
I literally
pretty
think
freaky.
This is why I don't like new builds is because you walk into like a blank energy, but you walk into that and there's just like there's a character to it.
Oh,
you feel.
Yeah, but you feel nothing because it's like new build.
New build. You don't.
It
I'm like,
smells nice.
This place is dead. Yeah, it smells like paint and wood and
yeah. So this one, I really do need to figure out when that was built because I want to say, maybe 150 years old at least.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
It's probably extremely run down right now. My grandparents died. My grandpa died at least over 10 years ago. My grandma. It's been a couple years now, but that's where she grew up in Bremon. So pretty much we'd go there for our family reunions, all that kind of good stuff, meet with the old Saluzniak family, and we would all kind of sleep in, there's one bedroom, so we would all kind of sleep in the living room as cousins. Everybody would just be on the floor. There were some beds in the living room. Just, I don't know, I guess she just kept them there just because that's what we did. It wasn't where she lived. She moved to Houston. But so I was laying on the ground one day, passed out of sleep. All the cousins were asleep. We knew all the parents were in another room. So I'm sitting there and I got my eyes down and I hear the rocking chair start. And it's right by my head. And I'm like, okay, like
rocking chairs have such a way.
Yes. Like who would be in here? Who would be rocking right next to my head? And so I told myself, don't look up, don't look up, don't look up, you know? And so finally I got brave because, you know, I was a brave soul even back then.
Yeah.
Now I'm real brave. But so it was rocking back and forth. And so I kind of peeked up a little bit and I heard those footsteps
like
going
running
away, like running away, and the rocking chair just instantly stops, like doesn't
it stops
like when you get off it still keeps going, but no, it just instantly just stopped.
No,
and I hear the little footsteps running away into the room and I'm looking around, nobody's awake, it's in the middle of the night. And it was that first time that I was actually like, okay, that actually, like something actually happened to me there. If I would have been, you know, at my house, new build, whatever, and that happened, I would have been like, oh no, this is not, this is not real. But but I'm like, okay, that was my first experience for sure.
Yeah, that is a spooky.
Do you think
like
it was
first
a child?
I don't know, honestly.
When I hear the running pitter patter, I always think of kids.
Yeah.
So it seems more childlike.
The weird thing is, I guess, so my grandparents, they did lose a child before my dad. So it could have.
How old?
He was pretty young. He was definitely, you know, before he hit 10. But
he was a kid, though.
He was
though.
A kid. Yeah.
Hello. I think there's your culprit.
there's the culprit there.
Yeah.
But I want to say most of that family lived into the hundreds. I mean, they were old, old. My grandpa was 99. My grandma was 90. Almost 99. So they all lived very full lives.
Sweet. So you're not going anywhere anytime soon?
I hope so. That's the hope. Yeah.
So do you want to share another one? Heath, would you like to go ahead and share a paranormal story?
Well, I never really experienced anything until I moved to Los Angeles. And I was about 29 years old at the time. And I was renting a room in a house in Laurel Canyon. I didn't know the people that lived there. I just got that connection to a friend.
Yeah.
And so I arrived and the owners were leaving to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks. So it was just me and we had a live-in housemaid at the house.
How old would you say this house probably was?
Well, it was two houses built together. So, and my bedroom was in the part of the original house. So it was pretty old. The guy who owned it, he had the orchid man. So he had orchid shops all throughout Los Angeles and stuff. And so we had orchid greenhouses all over the property and orchids all around us and stuff. But the energy in my room was completely different than through the rest of the house. Mm-hmm. And it started with, you know, one day probably the third day I was there and I was taking a shower and I heard this knock on my bathroom door. It's like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's weird because my bathroom is inside my bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like,
and you said the owners were gone.
Yeah.
So
and I was like, is that the nanny or the live-in maid, you know, knocking on my bathroom door? So I get out and I look in my room and nobody's there. And so I get back into the shower and I hear it again. And I'm like, that is so weird. So I went and spoke to Edna. That was her name. And I was like, were you knocking on my bathroom door? And she's like, oh, no. She's like, I get that, too, sometimes at night. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's amazing. She immediately, like, knew what you were talking about.
And she goes, this house is haunted. And I'm like, what? And she goes, the owners didn't tell you? And I was like, no. You know, and so I had never really experienced anything. So I'm like, well, how bad can it be, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and they were gone. So I'm telling you, every night something came and would sit on my bed and touch me, like on my leg.
Oh, yuck.
And I would hear, like, things. They had a bowl of trinkets that had just materialized out of thin air. And it was, like, old, weird stuff, like silver braided bracelets and all kinds of stuff that the dogs would find, even.
Oh,
and
that's
weird.
And one
time I came home, and there was an old key laying in front of my bedroom door, just on the floor, like somebody had tried to put the
like key one of those, like, vintage Victorian-type keys? Oh, those are the spookiest keys.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing was weird. I just couldn't grasp it. But you'd come home, you'd see like somebody standing at the top of the stairs. I mean, this place was really haunted.
Yeah.
They had had several people out to investigate it and stuff. But one night, okay, this was the worst night. So I was laying in bed. It's probably about 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and it's just like in the movies. I heard this squeaky door going. And then these heavy footsteps come into the bedroom like that. And I kind of sat up in bed. I was looking straight ahead. And you know how the room just got darker than dark?
Yeah.
It got way dark. And I couldn't see anything, but whatever was at the foot of my bed was so scary. Like, I've never felt that energy before.
Yeah.
And I was, like, just mesmerized. And then I was thrown back onto the bed, and then this pressure just kind of bore down on top of me. And in my mind, I couldn't move, I couldn't speak, but I was, like, in my mind, I was going, what the, you know?
Yeah.
And then it went away. It only lasted really seconds.
Yeah.
You know, but it freaked me out so much. Like, I got the Bible out, I lit the candle.
Yeah.
You know,
the first things you can think to do is like, let's bring Jesus into this right now.
I was traumatized.
Yeah.
And then I went to work that day and I was telling people I work with and they're like, it's, you know, we were kind of sharing ghost stories and stuff. I took my break. I went down on the 3rd Street Promenade and into a bookstore and there was this lady talking about ghost busting and stuff. And so I kind of, in a panic, went up to her and I was like,
help me.
My house is haunted. I don't know what to do. You know, and she was just like, buy my book and, you know, of course, buy her book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do what it says, you know? And so it's things like, you know, fry salt in a pan, put it in a jar and put the jars, 4 jars around your bed. She said, open up all the windows and cleanse it by banging pots and pans and you know, kind of do an incantation, you know, setting the spirits free, whatever. I did all of that. And she told me, even while you're doing it, they may try to distract you. But she's like, just keep doing it. And so I did. And while I was frying the salt in the pan, the cabinet door below hit me in the leg. Like it opened up and hit me in the leg.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, that did something.
Yeah.
For like 2 weeks, that energy had changed. And I felt like I had won.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, oh, this house is clean.
Yeah.
But
I love that.
But she came back.
This house is clean now.
This house is clean. But no, it was about 2 weeks later and stuff started happening again. And I ended up moving out of there. I was like, so this was the beginning of my journey in a way, because when I moved, I don't think that those spirits followed me, but I became sensitive to a lot of things. And that never left me. And so in a weird way, I became obsessed.
Yeah.
It scared the hell out of me, but I was obsessed with it. And so I would watch everything I could find about ghosts. You know, they had all those spooky ghost shows on. And
yeah.
I just wanted to see what other people were experiencing. And so I would go to these old buildings. I feel like L.A. is the most haunted city.
Okay, I've never been to L.A. actually, but...
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah, you're speaking really highly of it. Yeah. But I always hear that's a place of like really dark energy.
I feel like it's the land of broken promises and empty dreams anyway, because, you know, people go there to make it and they get shattered.
Yeah.
There's so many suicides out there and just murder and whatnot. But I love that city. I know.
Well, some of the craziest serial killers come from there, like Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, the Black Dahlia happened there. I mean, there's a lot of like super creepy ones. The Manson murders, freaking whole Manson Ranch.
I know.
Yeah, like there's some weird stuff that goes down there that just adds to like the weird vibe of Hollywood.
But I became very sensitive. And so like I would go into these old buildings and some like I would see military ghosts or whatever. And I told my friend who lives there, I was like, there's a bunch of military people here. And he's like, whatever, you know. And then I'd see a girl with a hula hoop, you know. And it turns out we ended up talking to the super of the building. He's like, this apartment building was a base for the army back in the war and stuff. And then they said that several residents have complained about the girl with a hula hoop. So I was always getting validated.
Validation, yeah.
Is this, sorry, maybe you do or don't know this, but is this the same apartment complex that Jody, from Stephanie Tanner from Full House? Jody, not Stephanie. Anyway, she lived in like an apartment that was a military base that she talked about a lot of weird stuff happening there. I wonder if it's the same one.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of buildings with stories like that out there.
Yeah. But it was something that like was a military base, I think. It was on a different podcast that I listened to, but that would be really interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
But you hit on a point, like I know when I talked to a medium, they made it very clear, like once you kind of feel that other side, it kind of opens up just like a whole nother level of you seeing that.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to, is it second dimension? I don't know what it is, but it just kind of opens up something in your brain that you might not have been sensitive to before, because now you're looking for things versus, like, you know, just not believing maybe.
Right. That's what we were talking about in the last segment with Christy, is because hers was about her child, that I think kids don't have anything closed off. You don't know anything about the world, so you'll believe anything that's right in front of your face. And so I think that's why they're so sensitive to being able to see those things. And then adults, we kind of close it off. But once you open it back up, I know that's the struggle you've talked about, Heath.
Yeah. And I feel like in a way they're trying to communicate with us all the time. And when they find that opening, maybe they...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of scary experiences. I didn't have a lot of positive ones. And it always freaked me out. Like, I never asked for this. I never wanted...
Yeah.
But I became really sensitive to it. And I would go to a party and all my friends started to, I see dead people. You know, so they're all like, I think my house is haunted. Do you see anything? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, there was one party I went to and it was a rocking party. And I was like, I don't feel anything. There's too much going on, you know? But I went to the bathroom and I was in there by myself for a minute. And then this little girl from India appeared. And so I came out and I said, I know who's in your house. And she's like, who is it? And I said, it's a little girl from India. She's like, that is so weird, because we've been wanting to decorate this place and we were going with an Indian kind of theme and this and that. And I was like, well, that's who's influencing you.
Yeah.
In a way.
That's really neat.
Yeah. But there was one. Can I tell this story?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I'm not stopping you for sure.
So I moved in. I moved out of that house. I went to the beach. Beach was great. But then I ended up moving back to Hollywood. And I moved in with a friend. She had an apartment off of 3rd Street. And about the third night I was there, I was laying in bed, looking out the window. And this plaid thing, I just caught it out of the corner of my eye. It just kind of flew over me. And I looked over. And right as far as Lynn is sitting to me, this old woman.
I'm very close.
Very close.
This old woman with white hair, like flames, was right at my face. And she said, get out. And then she flew at me. So I flipped over the other side of the bed and knocked the lamp over. I was so, like, terrified.
Yeah.
And another sleepless night. And I was just like, the next morning, I told my roommate about it. And she's like, oh, no, you must have had a bad dream. And I was like, absolutely not. This really happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was another every night thing where she would come and float over the bed above me every night. And I would feel this pulsing energy through my legs, and if she moved around the room, my hair would stand up and move in that same direction that she would go. And every night she hovered over me. And so at the time I worked at this shop on Melrose, and my boss, the owner, her husband was the PR person. No, she was the PR person for the Dalai Lama.
Oh,
and
wow.
Her husband was from Tibet. And I was in the shop, and this woman came in, and she looked at me, and she said, you've got a ghost. And I was like, I do. It's at home. It's, you know, she's like, no, it's here with you. It follows you.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's my reaction, too.
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to take a bath in everything white. She's like, put milk in the bath, put white flowers in the bath, light a white candle, do all this stuff. And so, of course, I was doing that. Nothing happened.
I was going to say, how was that milk bath?
Yeah, it didn't do anything.
Sounds relaxing, actually. Candles, flowers, milk.
And I went through all this different stages of emotion that you can go through. At first, I tried to bargain with this woman. I was like, leave. I can't afford to move, you know?
Yeah, I need you to move out. I have to stay. Yeah.
I'm not going to mess with you. Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
Please, you know? But she was so irritating. Like, I could not sleep with her there. And so what happened is my boss found out about this woman, and she's like, I don't want any kind of spirits affecting my business and stuff. So she arranged for an exorcism from Tibet.
Oh my God, what?
From Tibet. And so she gave me this necklace. It was a red and green string necklace that was tied by the 14th Karmapa.
I have no idea.
I don't know my... But she gave me a picture of him to put.
Is this like a Buddhist thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tibetan Buddhist.
Okay.
And she gave me a picture of him to put on the side of my bed. And then she gave me this colored rice to sprinkle around my bed. And she said they were going to do an exorcism from Tibet. And I'm not kidding. It took about 3 days for her to disappear. And each night she was a little weaker and weaker. But she kept trying to come.
Wow.
It was crazy. Yeah.
So like what? So what? Sorry. What do they do like to exercise this?
I don't know. Because that was done in Tibet. But
it was done from Tibet. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was like a Tibetan ritual that you brought here
but
or something.
Who knew they could do that like that?
I had no idea.
But apparently Tibetans can tap into all kinds of things. She told me stories where they can walk through a wall, actually, because they're so inner focused. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild stuff.
I feel like my story sucked compared to his.
No. Just do you want to step up your game now, Lynn?
Just FYI. Okay.
Let's embellish on your next story.
I'm going to totally lie right now.
The spirit took over my body and...
My name is Linda Blair, so, you know.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, for sure.
No, our next one we kind of all experienced together, so we can kind of all talk about it. But it was at our ghost tour that we had when we were walking around in Tomball, Texas. Not Tomball, sorry. Yeah. Old Town Spring.
Oh, yeah. It was Old Town Spring.
And
that was a fun night.
That was really fun night. And it was very, I mean, it wasn't like boring, but it was very just, you know, casual, telling stories, all that
history
kind of
lessons.
Stuff.
Yeah.
People taking pictures. Oh, do you see anything here? You know, so we finally get to a courtyard, and the story goes that there was a judge. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. Anybody recall?
Oh, the hanging judge.
Yeah. He was referred to as the hanging judge.
From a tree right outside of his window, and, mm-hmm. you know.
Usually in threes. Threes is always like a weird number in the spiritual realm.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And so he had a daughter. The daughter had a friend. They were playing one day and fell out of a window. In the barn.
Mm-hmm.
So the story goes that the little girl, Sarah, the friend, still hangs out in that
courtyard.
Died. She's the one that died. And I don't think she passed away from the fall, correct? I think he took her upstairs.
I think they did, but it took a few days, and then she passed away ultimately from her injuries.
Yeah.
It's amazing you remember her name.
Well, because I touched her, that's why.
And there's evidence of
and
that.
And there's evidence of that. So I think it was, you know, I think we have a lot of people that maybe not necessarily don't believe, but are just kind of more skeptical.
Right. For sure.
And we had some people that were drinking, and we had some people that weren't, and we had, you know, it was just an all around fun time.
Mm-hmm.
So our guide said, you know, in order to get Sarah out, let's play a game. So of course we're like, we'll volunteer.
Yep. I don't know why I do it.
it's the creepiest game.
I know.
It was super creepy. So they wanted us to play Ring Around the Rosie, which obviously
already has
really
morbid undertones.
Exactly. Right. And I didn't know that as, you know, until like I was an adult that we were just playing like such an awful
game. Yeah, thanks parents.
Seriously.
Yeah, that and Hush Little Baby, or no, Rockabye Baby, like both of those, I'm like, why do we sing these songs to kids? They're so creepy.
Yeah, 3 Men in a Tub, that one freaks me out, but you know, that was...
Rub-a-dub-dub?
Rub-a-dub-dub, 3 Men in a Tub, right?
I don't under... What are the scary, like...
That's not scary, it's just like, okay.
Why are 3 Men in a Tub?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rub-a-dubbing each other. Anyways, so we... Ashley and I and a couple more people, we joined hands, and the guide said, leave a spot for Sarah to do it. And of course, it was in threes, so we had to do it 3 times.
Yes.
We were on our third Ring Around the Rosie, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes. We all fall down, and one of our agents that works with us, that came with us, passed out.
Yeah.
Blacked out, passed out.
And she said she was fine until that third ring around the road. She goes, when y'all said all fall down, she goes, I just blacked out.
Yep.
And she was down and had no idea what happened.
And we thought, you know, her husband was like, oh, she's diabetic, you know, get her some this. But they checked her blood sugar. She was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
she said she could kind of just hear like, wah, wah, and then just passed out.
And that
out.
Stayed with her for a while.
She was very distraught.
But not only that guy... On the other end, where you're holding space for Sarah,
mm-hmm.
started saying, I feel something. And he turned white as a ghost.
You know,
he was like...
He said, I feel someone holding my hand. Like, I can't move my hand.
It was such a weird... It's so weird and, like, unexplainable.
Well, and then we also got a nice photograph where there is a very distinctive... It could have been a flash. It could have not been. But there's a very distinctive white line between my hand through the space to the other guy's hand.
Yeah, there's a blur for sure. It's super weird.
Yeah, but I thought that was a fun one just because we were all involved.
Yeah, that was fun. And that same place, because my sister and I took a tour, but it was a different tour, but we both went to the judge's house in the hanging tree last October, and that's where I got a really weird picture of her with eyes behind her, like glowing eyes behind her. Yes. And I have two pictures, and one doesn't have it, and the next one right after has two glowing eyes looking at her.
That town is supposed to be like the fifth most haunted or something in the United States. And the really cool thing that I found with the architecture there, since this is haunted real estate, is that they won't cut cut anything down.
Yeah.
So they'll literally build around the trees.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll have a house with a big tree right in the living room.
Yes. NBD, that's fine. That's spring for you. Yeah, there were some other really creepy ones. I think you guys left, but Heath, you were still there where they talked about the ice house. That was whole creepy thing. Do you want to share that story of the ice house of Old Town Spring?
So they had this one ice house shed that kind of provided ice for the restaurant down the road.
Mm-hmm. And the ice house is still there. It's just not acting as an ice house anymore.
Yeah, and this is back in, what, the 1800s?
Mm-hmm.
And people started dying. There's something happened, some big event. I can't remember.
But they had probably a flu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a flu epidemic.
So they had dead people and no place to store them. So they stored them in the ice room.
They stored them. Stoyed them. Go ahead.
Stoyed them.
But stoyed them. But then the restaurant still needed ice for their customers.
Are you serious? Yes.
So they had dead bodies on the ice because they couldn't get to them for some days.
And they would chisel it off and then wash it off.
Yeah. Oh. And so the guy was saying that's how, the guy said that's how pink lemonade was invented because it was blood in the ice. And then they would like, I don't think so either, but it was just funny. But like all the drinks were tinted, you know, a little red.
Oh, wow.
It was so gross. I'm like, oh my God. What, before the FDA was in existence, that's the freaking disgusting crap.
Yeah. But that town is so cursed. I guess, you know, there were Indians living there and they kind of burnt them out of their homes. And chased them away. And so now that whole town gets these mysterious fires all the time. Mm-hmm. And even a couple of years ago, I think the fire station caught on fire and burned down.
I remember that.
So that's why they don't chop anything down. They don't.
Yeah. And Wunsch Brothers has caught fire like five different times.
What a cool restaurant that is.
Oh, yeah. I know. I love it. Yeah. For sure. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your stories. This hopefully will be a great little Halloween edition for people to listen to and get some spooky vibes.
This has been great.
Yeah. Anything else y'all want to share before we end it?
Should I tell my good story? The one with my aunt?
Oh, yeah. That was your positive story. Yeah.
That's my only.
Oh, good positive.
I had a lot of scary.
Yeah, let's end it on like a good positive note instead of blood on the ice.
I had a lot of scary experiences and I felt like, you know, why is it all happening to me? But my aunt, when I was younger, she was one of my favorite aunts. Her name's Aunt Peggy, if she's listening.
Hi, Aunt Peggy.
She was a psychic at the flea markets and stuff. And she had a crystal ball and she would read people's fortunes and stuff like that.
That's why you're sensitive. It's in your blood.
But we had this real strong connection. And so she had always said, no, I had asked her if she ever passes before me that she would come and visit me and give me a sign that everything's okay. And one day it was when Harry Potter books came out and I was in LA. I was laying in bed. I was reading Harry Potter book.
I love all the Harry Potter books so much.
And this cat, ghost of a cat named Twinkle that I had her for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost cat came running, jumped on my bed and was like sitting on my lap purring. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's Twinkle. And then I heard my aunt laugh and she said, look who I found. And then as she walked through the room and then they both disappeared. And I was just like,
aww.
Oh my God, that's the coolest experience. You know, that was really
was
neat.
So cool. That was also in LA?
Yeah.
That's so neat. Now, where was she when she passed?
She was in Louisiana.
Okay.
No, she was here in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. And you get those
it's nice to hear from the other side.
You know?
And that's when I think when my brother-in-law died, it was very, like, it makes me sad because it's not as much as it is now. But when it happened, it was like he was just literally like trying to reach out and just communicate in every form possible. And it was really cool.
Yeah. I think they can.
Yeah. I know. You know, I hear that, and this is kind of a bummer, but I always wonder, I'm like, where's my mom not talking to me? Because, like, I barely dream about her. I don't have any of those experiences. I'm like, of all people that I thought would haunt me, like, my mom is not haunting me.
I know. My dad didn't either, and I went to a psychic about it, and she said, you know, he's just chilling out. He's just relaxing, laying out. And I was like, he doesn't want to talk to me. And I was like, well, that makes sense, because my dad was really religious, and he didn't believe in psychics.
So he's like, I'm not coming from the other side. Yeah. That's against my religion, so...
So that makes sense. Anyway, you know?
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, like, I was in an okay place with my mom when she died. Like, we were friends, and I know I have that. And maybe I don't need closure, too. And maybe she knew that and doesn't feel like she needs to come and give that to me, because I literally have voiced, like, to my stepdad that I felt like out of my siblings, I was the most okay with everything. You know, like, just at peace with it, because we actually had a big fight Halloween. And then the time between Halloween and election, she actually died. The last time I saw my mom, mom was the Trump election, the first election with Hillary Clinton. So that was the last time I ever saw my mom. So there's always this weird time between Halloween and election where I'm like heavily thinking of my mom because we got in a fight on Halloween. And then I didn't see her again until election night. Or no, just kidding. I saw her a few days before election night and we talked it out. We're totally fine. And then I saw her election night and we had a really fun time. And then that was the last time I ever saw her. And so, but there's this weird association every 4 years during this time that I'm like very much thinking of my mom. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're probably connecting to her.
Yeah. And now I get to connect elections to my mother, which is so fun.
So it's days away.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe with the reaching out, maybe you guys were just in a good place. You know?
Yeah. And I'm at peace with it. I'm not looking for her to reach out to me, but her best friend was like let me try and get this right. My mom's best friend, her dad died, who was kind of the second dad to my mom. So Sherry is my mom's best friend. And so Sherry told me at that funeral, because I went to that funeral, she was like, your mom came to me last night and she put her hand on my shoulder and told me everything was going to be okay. And my first thought was like, wow, mom, you're going to go to Sherry, but you're not going to come talk to me. But you know what? Sherry needed that. And I haven't felt like I needed that, you know, like I felt like I came to peace with it. We were in a really good place. Like we ended on a high note and that's okay too. So.
And that's how Cody was. He was like, he doesn't necessarily, he's very logical, necessarily like very religious too, just doesn't believe in like, oh, I'm going to get haunted or whatever.
Yeah. If anyone's mind's closed off to that, it's Cody.
Exactly.
Some people, they don't.
No. Don't. And so he was getting really frustrated because when his brother died, everyone had their stories, you know. His mom had the stories. I had the stories. Sister had the stories. Sammy was coming to everybody, basically. So he one day locked himself in his car. He said, Sammy, I need to hear from you. Turned on his radio and said, you know, you've been talking to everybody else through electronics, through lights or TVs or whatever. Please just talk to me. So I'm going to get emotional. But he basically said, like, I need you to talk to me. So the first song that came on was The Black Parade by, I can't remember, My Chemical Romance or something. Mm-hmm. And it's very, like, you know, I can't even think of the words right now. But it is like, oh, yeah, I died, blah, blah, blah. So the next song that came on was this weird song. And I have it here. But if you knew Sammy's voice, and then you got to the point in the song that I'm about, we can play it later, but there's a part in the song that's just instrumental. And when you get to it, you can hear in the background someone talking. And it is his voice.
One million percent.
And I'll let you guys hear Sammy's voice and then I'll let you hear the song. But it says something along the lines like, why did I die? Like in the background, you can't find anything about it on the internet. Like you can hear it. It's on YouTube. You can hear the voice very, very distinctly. But it's one of those weird things that's like, Cody, he just turned pale and was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, like Sammy talked to him that day and like, it's the craziest thing in the world. But yeah. Yeah.
That's scary for a person who doesn't.
He was freaking out when he told me.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, like he said, this is Sammy. Like, I don't know if it's in the original. I don't know if I was hearing stuff. I don't, like, he even reached out to the band. That's how like black and white he is.
Oh,
like,
God, that's so, it makes so much sense.
He reached out to the band and was like, please tell me what they're saying in the background here, because I need to know. And like, who was it? Who said it? Yes. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I'll play it for you guys in a little while, but it's really kind of freaky.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love those little experiences we can have. And you had a Sammy experience too when we went to Michigan. There were some fireflies.
There's always something, which is cool. It's less, like I said, it's less and less, which I get mad at Sammy for that. Yeah. I'm like, hello, come back. But before it was everything.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, and he passed in such a tragic way that exactly that, I think, like, he didn't understand it, you know? Yeah. So
and before he died, we can go on a little Sammy road real quick. But before he died, he was home for Christmas vacation, and he played baseball with Blinn Buccaneers College. And he came home, and he was sitting on the couch with his mom and his dad, and he started crying. And they said, this was the night he died. He said, I'm just really going to miss my baseball family. And they're like, Sammy, you're on vacation. You'll see them in, like, 2 weeks. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just really am going to miss them.
He knew something.
He knew he was gonna die that night.
Oh my God, that's
It was that night.
It was that night. Another thing, the really cool thing, it was the first time I'd been back. So he died at his parents' house in an ATV accident. So it was the first time I was driving back, and I was, you know, you scream at the wheel, you like, fuck, fuck, you know, just really mad. And so I was really mad at God, and I said,
you know, God, if, you know, tell, give me a sign, make me happy. I literally said, send me a freaking animal on the side of the road to rescue so I can get my mind off of this. And I'll show you the video. There is a dog in the middle of a road. I thought it was a sheep. It was so big. Stopped in the middle of the road and was just walking to my car. And I get out and the dog comes in, jumps in my car. The dog's name is freaking Freckles. And I'm like, okay, that's something that Sammy would call me. Like,
yeah.
You know, and the dog just stayed with me until I found the owner. But again, I'm going to show you all these videos. You're going to be really, really...
How does that happen?
I don't know. You know? That's so amazing, though.
It is.
It's like exactly what we need, though, to find that closure. Like, you asked for it.
Yeah.
You got it. Of course, Cody asked for it and was like, did I want to see that?
There's me in front.
That's a huge dog.
But watch this dog. This is in the middle of the road right after I screamed, coming to my car.
At least it was daytime.
And walking towards you on the road.
In the middle of the road.
Yeah, in the middle of the road, and it's just walking towards your car.
Look at that.
Directly in front of you.
That's crazy.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Me and Freckles. But yeah, I documented all the things that have happened. So there was a lot that happened after he died. Oh,
that's amazing, and you kept all of it. I should be better about documenting those kinds of things. I'm not good at that.
There wasn't cell phones back when I was in LA.
So you could have put it on your Palm Pilot.
But you know that house I lived in on Laurel Canyon?
Mm-hmm.
That thing got destroyed.
Really?
So years later, because I was curious, I wondered what happened to it.
Yeah.
Years later, they tore it down and they built this mega mansion right there. Because it was right at the, where Laurel Canyon, the little Laurel Canyon goes down and big Laurel Canyon goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was right there in that corner. And we found out that there was a map of the markings, the three trees in the front yard were the markings on a map of the Spanish campsite. And this guy had come while I was in the pool one day knocking on the door and he said, I used to live in this house. It was so haunted. I want to show my girlfriend. And I was like, what happened with you? And he goes, I was carrying a car battery around the side of the house and I looked up and there's a Spanish conquistador there and he dropped the battery.
Oh my gosh.
And ran into the house. And I'm like, well, that explains everything.
Yeah.
But that house was torn down. They built this big mega mansion and somebody bought it, but then they sold it like immediately. So I just wonder if that property is still
haunted. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to show you his voice. I don't know. Tell me if you guys can hear it in here. Okay.
I heard something.
Hold on, it's not loud enough.
This is Sammy.
This is Sammy. Okay, you can kind of hear it.
Kind of, yeah.
I wish there was more to it. Hold on. Okay, now let me find the...
The song.
The song. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's so weird.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
You know what's weird? Is it like kind of that part, like also kind of vibrated in my headphone, like...
Really?
Like it vibrated with what he was saying, but just that part, that was super weird.
I heard, can you hear me? I don't know why I died. Why?
That's so weird. That's
the random song. Cody's never heard that song before.
I like that song. I've never heard
it's
that
beautiful.
Song.
It's
beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like Cody thought at first because it says, I am the light, I am the truth, I am the way. He was like, oh yeah, it's just like God saying whatever. But then that came on it and he just was like, what the hell?
Yeah. That's so random. Of like kind of a random band too.
Mm-hmm.
I need
to find a better of Sammy's voice, but you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that is him.
Yeah, that is. So when he reached out to the band, did they explain that part?
Nobody talked.
Okay, I figured not, but that would be cool if somebody said something.
Yeah.
Wow, that was amazing. And I love those experiences you guys have with your aunt and your brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I love these kind of storytelling times. They're my favorite.
You're welcome.
And I hope everybody has a safe and happy Halloween. Be careful because, you know, this is when the veil is the thinnest. So if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen on October 31st.
Oh!
Brace yourself.
You're scared.
Thank you, guys.
Was that a plug?
Yes.
It was a plug. It's already happened. Player Scare 2025.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. That's a wrap.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.